Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. It's that time of year again when I get to sit down with actress Melissa Fumero from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, talking about the series and her being a superhero. Plus, actress Ileana Douglas is hosting a whole month of great films on Turner Classic Movies, and we've got a preview. Let's get to the point.
This is the point. The Point Radio. Get the Point Radio.
It's season three for the award-winning comedy Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Fox, and there's a lot of changes coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Big changes is right. New captain, Jake and Amy, a lot going on.
That's actress Melissa Fumero, who plays Amy Santiago in the show. We talked about her character and about how after the past couple of seasons where Amy's been, well, slightly neurotic, has that changed at all?
Oh, Amy's definitely been chain-smoking. We just haven't seen it on camera. I mean, I guess you could say that perhaps being in a relationship has calmed her a little bit, but I like to always think that there's sort of, you know, a nervous breakdown always sort of looming or just sort of spinning inside of Amy at all times. Getting a new captain, seeing Holt leaving, that's all been hugely upsetting for her and just really thrown her off in general. And then on top of it, dealing with what's going on with Jake and what are her feelings and what does she want, and, you know, her fears about it and all of that, it's kind of overwhelming. I think her head is just sort of in a tailspin, and she's just trying to tackle one thing at a time.
One of the things that's made the show successful from the beginning is the great rapport the cast has, both on screen and off.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it was sort of magical. The first day that this cast met, we all gelled really quickly. That very, very first table read, everyone just got along really well, and everyone sort of has a similar kind of energy. We're all sort of laid back. You know, there's not one person that's kind of out in the stratosphere, you know. So we all get along really well, and I think that has elevated the show and the work on the show. And, yes, you know, now being in season three, having spent so much more time together, it's definitely deepened in a lot of ways and has just made it even more fun and collaborative on set. And I mean, we truly are, like, I know everybody on television shows does this, but I'm actually serious. Like, we actually are friends on the show. Like, we hang out, we have dinners together. A bunch of us went to Paris together. Like, it's a real thing. We're not, like, BSing it.
So who does the best Terry Crews impression?
Oh, man. Well, Andy just does the best impressions in general. So I would probably have to say Andy. He can kind of do everyone. So he's just good at impressions. You know, that whole, like, SNL thing.
So overall, how's your character progressed over the past seasons?
I think it's been, like, a joint effort with the writers, you know. It definitely, Amy's a complex person. And I think we definitely explored what exactly that was for her season and tried to really hone in and dial in on who exactly she was. And, you know, she's this very capable detective who also is really socially awkward sometimes and sort of really nervous and anxious. But then when she's doing her job, she's really kind of confident and calm and focused. So it was, you know, a little tricky sort of finding the balance between those two without it seeming like two characters. And I think the writers and I just sort of dialed in on it slowly and then once we found it, we were like, oh, there it is. There she is, you know. And a lot of that came from relating, I think, to the other characters, you know, how she is with Holt, how she is with Jake, sort of showing her personality in that way through circumstance and the other characters. And it's just been, and she's also grown too. You know, that's what I love about Dan Bohr and Mike Schur is they don't keep their characters frozen in one place. They put them in circumstances that forces them to grow. And, that's definitely been true for Amy, you know, be it little by little in tiny baby steps, but, she's definitely not the same girl she was in first season. And that's been really fun to play. Because otherwise it'd be boring if she was, you know, still doing all the same stuff.
So overall, if we could offer Melissa any role in any project beyond Brooklyn Nine-Nine, what would she love to do?
Ooh. Oh, man. So many things. I would love to either be I love scary movies. I think doing a horror film would be super fun. Or I also love, like, sci-fi and kind of fantasy genre. So, like, playing either, like, a character, you know, a being that doesn't exist in real life, like an elf or someone that can fly, like, or a superhero would be super fun and sort of, like, using, like, the height of your imagination if you can.
So would you be a good girl or a bad girl? A villain or a hero?
It's fun to play a bad girl. I think I would have to go with villain.
Melissa Fumero and the talented cast of Brooklyn Nine-Nine with new episodes every Sunday on Fox. And you can catch up right now, too, on Hulu. And more years of Transformers, that's just part of what's going on right now in pop culture. The Watchmen might be coming to television, HBO in particular. There are rumors out there that Zack Snyder has been meeting with HBO to discuss a TV series based on the DC property. There's no real other information out there, although it is said the meeting may be readapting the original graphic novel or even the 2012 prequel before Watchmen. Verizon has finally launched their final version of the Go 90 streaming video service. Original content is there, as well as material from Comedy Central, MTV, and other sources, and clips, too, from the NFL Network and ESPN as well. The service is ad-supported, so that means it's free, and it's available for both iOS and Android devices. Seven more kid-friendly series are coming to Netflix. The very first is Glitter Force. It'll be available in December. Not long after that, DreamWorks' Dawn of the Croods will also debut before the end of the year. And then early in 2016, they'll be adding Lost and Found Music and Lego Friends, as well as Buddy Thunderstruck, which will debut late in 2016 or maybe as far out as 2017. The All Right Network has finalized the deal to pick up episodes of Constantine and Almost Human from Warner Brothers. The episodes that originally ran on networks a year or so ago will now air on El Rey, both debuting in November. The USA Network has picked up the two-hour pilot for a supernatural drama executive produced by Tim Kring of Heroes. It is The Wilding, and it centers on a blended family who welcome back their 17-year-old daughter after she's released from a mental health institution. No word yet on when that will hit the network. Another example of a comic property heading to the big screen, maybe even before it hits the comic book stores. The new series from Mark Millar, which is called Huck, has already been optioned by former Warner Brothers executive Jeff Robinoff's Studio 8, and they plan to bring it to the big screen sometime not far down the line. Millar is writing the comic series. It has art by Raphael Albuquerque and features the story of a dim-witted gas station attendant in a small town who happens to have super strength and performs good deeds anonymously. It's a show that really just won't die. Unforgettable is on its way back to television, now to A&E with a back-to-back premiere set of episodes that begin in November. November 13th is the air date for those episodes, and the full fourth season will follow after that on A&E. Well, you can look forward to another decade of the Transformers. As according to Hasbro CEO Stephen J. Davies, who said that there are at least four more sequels in the Transformer franchise, as well as a possible TV show, and more Transformers in digital, too, as well. CBS has given the green light to a second season of Zoo. That'll premiere next summer on the network. Meanwhile, ABC Family has canceled Chasing Life after two seasons, mainly due to poor ratings. The Point! The Point! This month, Turner Classic Movies is shining a light on the gender gap in the movie industry and showcases some great films done by some great women, all in a month called Trailblazing Women. And it's hosted by actress Ileana Douglas, who told me just what we can expect.
They're launching a multi-year programming, which that's what I think is so fantastic. And this year, it's going to focus on specifically on women directors and on the historical contributions of women directors. And then we'll see where the project, you know, goes over the next couple of years. But they've partnered with Women in Film. And I really think that it just shows that, you know, there was a tipping point, that this was something that people were talking about. And it's thrilling to be, you know, associated with TCM, who, you know, shows classic movies, obviously great film era stars like Betty Davis and Katherine Hepburn. But now starting this initiative where we're going to start to focus on female directors and over 50 films in the series. And I've been lucky enough to work with, you know, 8 female directors, 9 if I include myself. So I think women directors are great. I've sought out working with women directors.
Trilliana, granddaughter of actor Melvin Douglas, the movie business, well, has almost been the family business. And I ask her if she's seen the gender gap change at all over those years.
I think that, you know, I grew up in an era of, you know, the late 70s where, you know, we think of all these great, you know, actresses, Jane Fonda and Sissy Spacek and Jessica Lange, and they were all in the movies. And then moving into the 80s, you know, seeing directors like Susan Seidelman, Joan Micklyn Silver, Joyce Chopra was somebody I had worked with behind the scenes early in my career. And going all the way into the 90s, and as I said, I work with 8 female directors. I was, you know, doing programs for the what was then, you know, the Independent Film Channel and Bravo, and it didn't seem as if it was any big deal. And it's only within what I've noticed is in the past 15 years that the opportunities for women filmmakers have dropped out. That also coincides, you know, with working in independent film and watching the bottom drop out of independent filmmaking, too.
You don't think it's a real thing? Listen to some of the stats.
Well, men outnumber women 23-1 as directors of the 1,300 top-grossing films since 2002. Men, it's a 5-to-1 ratio of men working on films to women. Only 15% of the writers in Hollywood are women. Only 20% of the editors are women. And only 2% of the cinematographers are women.
Wow. The celebration covers well over a century of movie history.
If you're a history buff, you know, the first night is just going to be dedicated. It's going to go, you know, you're going to be showing a film from 1896. So anyone who loves even, you know, classic film history, just to have the opportunity to see such a rare film, it might be the first narrative film ever made, and it's directed by a woman. And so a lot of these silent films, you know, they've never really been seen before on television. So that's for them. Then as we move into the next night, we're going to go into the classic, the Hollywood, you know, system, which was like 1930 to, you know, 1950. And we're going to be seeing the work of Ida Lupino and the work of the very unsung director named Dorothy Arzner. She was the only female director in the studio system. So Ida Lupino's work, this film Outrage, just completely blew me away. Difficult subject. It's about a rape, but and the aftermath of how that violence changes a family, but just an astonishing film. Then we have a night of foreign films with Lena Wertmüller, who is still working, Agnès Varda, French filmmaker, nice, still working. And there's a fantastic movie, Salaam Bombay. If people liked Slumdog Millionaire, you know, this is a film that was made about the same topic years before that. Then we're going to head with some, you know, with Allison Anders, who I've worked with on Grace of My Heart, into independent films. And then we're going to go into the 90s with mainstream films.
Like, wow.
You know, it's great. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a cornucopia of movies. There's going to be a movie for everybody, and I can't wait to hear what the fans think.
Trailblazing Women, hosted by Trilliana Douglas, all this month on Turner Classic Movies. That's it for the podcast, but here's your homework. We're on the way to New York Comic Con, and you can follow us easily. Look for Pop Culture Upload on Instagram and see what we're up to. And also follow us on Twitter under PC Upload as well. The podcast is on websites like ComicMix.com and GetThePointRadio.com and in the iTunes podcast directory as well. And we'll be back for that in a few days. See you in New York City. Get the-